So we went to the haunted house on Friday. I'd commend it to you if you like these type of things. And I still have the nail marks on my arms from the kids. And because it's not the jumping out, it really scares you in this maze, which is sort of an old refabrication of Roanoke from 50, 60 years ago, put on by the Senator Square. It's not the people jumping out that scare you. It's those people that come up behind you. It's the folks that pop up when you least expect it. And isn't that so true of life? It's not the stuff that necessarily hits us head on as it is the stuff that bubbles up from inside or sneaks up and catches us. Which is why I just loved the Belladonna Comedies website. It's sort of a satirical website. And it had something this week called The House of Inner Torment. And it said, "That terrifies far more than any haunted house," was the caption. "You bolt into a dark corner as flashes of lightning outside disorient you. You're in the hall of jump scares where your most ill-advised life decisions pop out in rapid fashion. Dental x-rays showing your preventable gum loss because you're too lazy to floss. 94 rejected job applications because you majored in theater. Photos of you in low-rise jeans. Or you can escape into the living room where the television flickers on in a poltergeist style with your dad there saying, wild-eyed and sweaty and raving about retirement funds, rattling off financial terms like Roth IRA, 401k, rollovers, allocations, and you feel lighthearted. Why didn't you set aside more in your 20s? You're going to die alone in a studio apartment now under a stack of student loans and bills," says the screen. Woo! I mean, we don't have to create that sort of terror, right, to know that it exists inside of all of us. It's already there. One question I love talking to people about, and maybe some of you will recognize me asking this, and I ask it of myself, is how are you sleeping? Seems like a really innocent question on one hand, but it's really a probing question because if you think about where does that hall of terrors really exist? 3 a.m. when you wake up and you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to solve X, Y, and Z? How am I going to conquer this fear? How will I ever face the morning? The 3 a.m. is that open invitation, as C.S. Lewis talked about, for the devil to wreck in on your anxiety. So have you ever woken up at 3 a.m.? Oh, can I get an amen? I mean, I love that response, but that is it, right? I mean, you get up for an innocent sip of water. Next thing you know, you're laying in bed thinking about the next 30 years of your life, or while one of your children is run amok at school, or you just take a bathroom break in the middle of the night and the inner floodlights come on with to-do lists of things undone and done. Rumination, in other words, takes the place of any type of REM sleep. And then we're left with the worst, which is that inner monologue at 3 a.m. because you can't talk to anybody at 3 a.m. and you can't actually do anything about all the stuff that you're worried about at 3 a.m. So you're really stuck. I mean, you can rattle off emails and people will call you the next day and be like, are you okay? Google does have a way, by the way, to schedule your email. So you can write them and then send them at 8. And they're like, wow, he's really efficient at 8 o'clock. Not that I'd ever do that. But I'm just saying it's possible. But back to the sermon here. If it's 3 a.m. and there's nothing we can do. There was a great illustration of the stress that all of us have felt. And it came out through an artist who, hold your laughter here, but Taylor Swift. Yeah, the one-time country music star became a pop star. During COVID, she became sort of like a folk singer star. And now she's got a brand new album called Midnight. And I wouldn't, it's not too much hyperbole to say that I think she's an absolute genius and a true voice of our generation. I would really, just to drive this point home, put her up there with like a Bob Dylan, Shakespeare. I'm serious. She is brilliant, okay, in the way that she can both reflect and then communicate what she's living, which is just what we're all living, right? And so she put this new album out. It's called Midnight. And it's her fourth album in so many years. And it's just incredible. Here's what she wrote about it. This is a collection of music written in the middle of the night. A journey through terrors and sweet dreams. The floors we pace and the demons we face. For all of us who have tossed and turned and decided to keep the lanterns lit and go searching, hoping that just maybe when the clock strikes eight, we'll be okay. We lie awake in love and in fear and turmoil and tears. We stare at walls and drink until they speak back. We twist in our self-made cages and pray that we aren't tight this minute about to make some fateful life-altering mistake. Twist in our self-made cages and pray that we aren't about to make some faithful life-altering mistake. And one of the title tracks to Midnight is Antihero. And it's about Swift's own insecurities and her own struggle with celebrity and the prison that that world surrounds her in, which is the same prison that we're all surrounded in. It's just not on the front page of Us Weekly. And so she's talking about these insecurities. And even though on first glance, we may not instantly resonate with Taylor Swift, she's getting up at 3 a.m. too. And so is the object of our lesson today. The object of our lesson is our friend Zacchaeus, who imagine the nights that he must have woken up in the middle of the night. Imagine the feelings of being lost, shut out from God and from all the people. He was a chief tax collector, by the way, which would have put him on the outs with his fellow Jews, meaning no access to God. He had made a deal with the Romans. So he was viewed as both a sinner and an outcast. He might have had a big house, but it was empty. He might have had a giant dining room table, but nobody would eat around it with him. He was completely alone. Completely alone at 3 a.m. Just imagine his restless nights. They must have felt like Swift's lyrics in this title track, Antihero. She writes, "Midnights become my afternoons when my depression works the graveyard shift. All the people I've ghosted stand there in the room." What's keeping you up at night right now? What's kept you up this past week? What prevented you from sleeping last night? Might be UVA's offense. But it might be something much deeper. It might be a fear of what your kids' futures will look like. It could be a constant disagreement with the spouse. It might be heartbreak from not having your spouse. It might be your own sins. It might be sins that were committed against you. It might be those things that are done that you regret, or those things that are undone that you keep saying, "Why can't I finish this? Do you want me to stop listening?" Well, think about how many times our friend Zacchaeus must have felt that exact same way. Think about when he must have felt no one likes him. He wasn't allowed in the temple because of his status as the chief tax collector. So he was barred from God. And never fully accepted with the Romans because he was a Jew sort of walking this tightrope between two different systems and structures of power. So he had the big house with the empty table. Plenty of food, but nobody to eat with him. That must have been why he was so desperate to get a look at this man that he had heard would eat with sinners and heal people. The man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was seeking out the lost. He must have just been so desperate. that he did whatever he could do, which is to climb a tree because he was too little to see Jesus. And nobody was going to let him through the throngs because, remember, he was an outcast. Just to take a look at this man. Perhaps a glimmer of hope could come, could help break him out of his own prison cell. And then in one of the most beautiful images in all of the New Testament, Jesus sees him longing for himself. And Jesus says, come down here and let's go to your house and have dinner. Think about just how revolutionary that moment was. In Zacchaeus's total isolation, total removal from everything in society, Jesus crosses over the threshold and into Zacchaeus's own house, into his house of terrors, into the very place where he lies awake at 3 a.m. And not to ramp them up or to say, what's wrong with you, Zacchaeus? He doesn't say an iota of condemnation in this passage. Jesus just says, take me to your house. That's where I'm going to be. He wants to heal this sin-sick soul. So from the tree to Jesus's, to Zacchaeus's house, Jesus heals Zacchaeus's heart. And so it is true with you and me. Because 3 a.m. is only 12 hours away from 3 p.m. when Jesus hung on the tree for you and me. So that we would know that our 3 a.m. voices don't get the last word in our lives. God does. And it's a word of love and comfort and acceptance for you and for me.